I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and the mountains.
Desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe in this broken generation. When all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again.
Thank you very much for logging on for our midweek service, our prayer and Bible study. My heart goes out to you. I hope you're doing well at home. Our prayers are with you. And our goal and our objective in live streaming all of our services, just like we did when we came together. You know, we have Sunday morning Bible hour, Sunday morning worship, Sunday night worship, Wednesday night prayer and Bible study. The reason we're keeping this same format is because we genuinely want you to feel like you are still part of your church and we are still part of you. And so we are coming together to worship right here. So let's open up with a word of prayer. Then I'm going to turn it right over to John and Ashley. They're going to go ahead and lead us in a few songs. Yes, Lord, yes. And On Jordan's Stormy Bank. And Jesus, Draw Me. So when they come up and start singing, you are welcome to stand right up in your living room or wherever you are and just start singing out. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can gather together for this prayer and Bible study. And Lord, I know that our folks are all throughout the county and beyond. And I just thank you so much that we can gather together through this technology. We are blessed to live in the day and age we do. And I pray that you'd be with them, that they would not get this COVID-19. I pray that you'd put a protective hand about them. I ask that you would be with all our medical professionals who are working so hard, and they themselves are in increased danger, including our workers who are caring for the boys and girls of those workers. Lord, I just pray that you'd bless them and encourage them and help them to know that you are with them, and we are thankful for their service. I ask that you be with this time of prayer and Bible study, that it would be your Holy Spirit that guides and directs. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
Well, let's lift up our voices tonight as we begin by singing I'll Say Yes, Lord, Yes, and then On Jordan's Stormy Banks.
With my whole heart, I'll agree, and my answer will.
Draw Me. That is such a great song. And I hope as you sang those words, you listened to them, you thought about them. For sure, they're applicable to this time that we are in, dealing with this COVID-19. And it's a time for us to draw near to Him and have Him minister to us. Just a couple very brief announcements. Want to let you know that this coming Sunday is, of course, Easter Sunday. Now, it's not going to be like any Easter Sunday we have ever had together as a church. We've never had an Easter Sunday where we didn't come, have a great time of fellowship, a great time of worship. Actually, some of our best attendance of the entire year is Easter Sunday, both in the early morning service and the regular service. But this year, obviously, we cannot do those things. Hopefully, at your house, the teenagers are going to get up. They're going to make you the most amazing breakfast, mom and dad, that you've ever had. They're going to take care of you, just like we would have done if you had come here. So that's just kind of a little hint to you teenagers for your mom and dad. You take care of them this Easter. But we're going to do our regular services this coming Sunday. So we'll have our regular Bible hour, our regular worship, and then our regular evening service. Normally we don't do an evening service on Easter because we do a very early service. So we're just going to do our regular schedule, and we're looking forward to you being a part of that by live streaming the services. Don't forget that we have the food bank here. We want to help you. I know that there are folks who have been laid off. There's people who you're still waiting for checks to come, maybe from unemployment or things like that. Please give us a call. Let us help you out. We want to, it's the reason we're doing it. So don't say, well, we don't want to bother you. No, we've set it up. It's in place. We want to help minister to you. And then I also want to give you a thanks. Lots of our people have been sending in their offerings with their envelope, or they've been going online and giving offerings to the Lord through the church. And I'm very grateful for a faithful church in your tithes and offerings. It is a blessing. It is what enables us to have the ministries we do. It enables us to be able to expand those ministries during times like this, adjust things and change things. So we're very grateful for your faithfulness in giving. All right, I am going to turn it back to John and Ashley, and they're going to lead us in Just a Closer Walk with Thee, and then also Behold Our God.
Satisfied as long.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that ministry and song. And I am hoping that it ministered to your hearts as we lifted up our voices unto the Lord. So tonight for our Bible study, I am going to take you to the Gospel of Mark. If you'd turn with me there, we're going to look to Mark chapter 14. I'm going to read to you verse 26, and then we're going to jump down to verses 32 through 42. And what this text is, it takes us to the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, of course, last Sunday was Palm Sunday, and that is the triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus Christ into Jerusalem, going into the week of sorrows as he comes and ministers there in Jerusalem, and as he encounters so many different things as he winds towards the crucifixion, putting everything into place, fulfilling all the scriptures of the great prophets of the Old Testament. But in that week, as we come to the end of it, we come to the upper room, and here we find the Lord Jesus Christ with his apostles. There he takes the Passover supper, and of course that becomes our Lord's supper when we do communion. But then you find in that text, it tells us that they sang a psalm and they left that place. And there he took them to the Garden of Gethsemane. And as they entered the Garden of Gethsemane, it tells us that he had the apostles set aside, and then he took just a few, and he went off a ways, and there the Lord Jesus Christ prays. And we're going to look at that as we pick it up here in Mark chapter 14, because I'm going to preach to you tonight on power-packed prayer. Now, there can be no more powerful prayer than what we're going to see in the Garden of Gethsemane as the Lord Jesus Christ reaches out to his Abba Father. And we're going to look at that prayer, we're going to look at a number of scriptures, and we ourselves are going to learn some lessons about having power-packed prayer. So look with me, if you would, at Mark chapter 14. I hope you've opened your Bibles or your electronic device that has your Bible in it. And as I said, you're going to first read verse 26, because it says, "And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." And then look at what takes place as we pick it up in verse 32. "And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little, and fell on the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went his way and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand." So when we look back in this historical record of our Lord Jesus Christ, we find him in a moment of prayer, a time of prayer, a season of prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we find that his prayer is not long. Look at it again with me at verse 36. He said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And so when you look at this, you see a very short prayer, but you see some elements in this prayer that teach us the power that is in the Lord Jesus Christ's prayer. You and I want to hope that you have tapped into a whole new area of your prayer life during this time. I am genuinely, sincerely hoping that you have been praying not just for you and for your nearest and dearest, but that you've been praying for your church family, you've been praying for your community, for your nation, yes, even for our world. As we face this virus, as government after government is working at it, for sure this is a perilous time for many people, especially the elderly. I really, truly want to hope that you have been tapping into powerful prayers. And I know that I certainly have been praying. I have been praying for you. I've been praying for those in our community who are caring for you, your doctors, your nurses, all the first responders, all of those folks. I've been praying for my family, my nation, my president. We need powerful prayers right now. So my goal, my objective to taking you to the Garden of Gethsemane is that each of us would learn a little bit more about having power-packed prayers. The first thing that I want you to learn here is that the Lord Jesus Christ came boldly before God, just as he tells us to come boldly before the Lord. Look with me again at verse 36, and I want you to hear the words that he says. He starts out his prayer. He says, Abba, Father. He's calling out to his heavenly Father, his intimate, dear Father. He says, Abba, Father. Now, one of the miraculous and mysterious things about the Trinity is here you find God speaking to God by the power of God. But that's okay, because he wants us to see and he wants us to learn the power of prayer. And he's showing us this example right here in this garden. So he starts out by coming before the Father boldly. You know, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 tells us, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Are you coming boldly before your Father? If you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, if his spirit dwells within your heart and in your soul, and you're a child of God, then you can come to him as his child, and you can come boldly before your Abba Father. The second thing I want you to see in our Bible lesson this evening is that he came in prayer with a clear aim. He had an objective. And our prayer should not be random, wandering all over the place, but we should have an objective in coming talking to our Heavenly Father. So I want you to look again with me at this text. Look down at verse 36 in Mark chapter 14. It says that he came and he said in prayer to the Lord, he says, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. So you find that the Lord Jesus Christ, he had an objective. He had a clear aim. He was coming to talk to the Lord. He was coming to talk to his Abba Father about this that he was getting ready to have to bear on the cross. This cup of sorrow that would be poured forth. And he simply comes to talk to God about the Lord taking it away from him, that he might not have to endure the cross. That he might not have to endure the suffering, the shame, the agony. He came to God to talk about it. You see, there's nothing wrong with us coming to God with an objective to talk to him about that which we are facing in our life. You, right now, wherever you are, whatever your circumstances, there's nothing wrong with coming to your Abba Father, your Heavenly Father, and saying, God, help me with this circumstance. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your relationship right now is strained between you and your spouse, or you and your kids, or your kids and your parents, or all those things. Christ came to the Heavenly Father with that which was weighing the heaviest on his heart. He had a clear aim to bring it before God. When we look in James chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." He's saying to us, you know, sometimes our prayer life is so selfish and so shallow. It's so random and weak. He says it's like we miss the target. We pray amiss. We need to come to Him with that which is sincere and genuine. Also, when you look at John chapter 15, verse 7, it says, "If ye abide in me, and my works abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." You see, that's part of being on track with your prayer life, is knowing that, hey, I'm in tune with my Lord Jesus Christ. We are walking together in this. He is with me. And I'm coming to the Heavenly Father with that which the Holy Spirit has laid upon my soul. It's directed, it's pointed, it's purposeful. You have an aim in coming to God. The third one I want you to see in this little short prayer is that it is contemplative. So I want you to look again with me at verse 36. It tells us that he reached out to the Lord in prayer. He says, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." When you look in the middle of that verse and you see that word, nevertheless, what you find is contemplation. You find the Lord Jesus Christ in the middle of that short prayer, expressing His contemplation, His consideration, His understanding as God reveals to Him through the Holy Spirit. You and I, when we come to the Lord in prayer, we need to do so contemplatively, where we may start out and we say to God, "This is what I desire, Lord. Nevertheless, as I think about it, I contemplate it, as your Holy Spirit speaks to me and moves in me," we follow His direction. We follow His way, His will. And in your prayer life and in my prayer life, that's the kind of prayer we should be praying. Today I was talking to one of our ladies in the church who's quite elderly. And we were talking about the concerns of the COVID-19. And we were talking about, you know, that it is most severe upon the elderly. And as we talked, she told me, she said, Pastor, I know the Lord is with me. And even if I got it, I know the Lord would be with me all the way to heaven. You see, her peace, her rest, she contemplatively considers the fact the Lord is going to, either way, whether He protects her from it, or whether she goes through the valley of it, the Lord is with her all the way. And in each of our prayer lives, whatever it may be your situation is, no matter what it is that you're facing, as you come to Him in prayer, you do so contemplatively, listening to the Spirit of God minister to your heart and soul and guide you in your prayer life. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27 says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So as we go into prayer personally and individually, as we come before our Abba Father, and we come boldly with a clear objective, we do so contemplatively, understanding that the Spirit should guide us and direct us. In fact, even that which we cannot utter, He Himself will bring before our Father. As we come down in verse 36, and look at yet a little more of our Lord's Prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, we find that he had biblical knowledge that he inserted into his prayer. So listen to the prayer again. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." So when we look in this verse and we see him say to the Lord in prayer, "All things are possible unto thee," we find the Lord Jesus Christ tapping into his knowledge of God. Now, of course, he has an exceeding great advantage over you and I because he is God, God in the flesh. But you and I, we know God through his holy word. We know God through our relationship with him in our heart and in our soul. So he says in his prayer, he says, "Lord, Abba Father, I know that you can do anything. I have knowledge of you. I know you, and I know what you can do, and I know your history, and I know your work. I know the doctrines about you. I ask you tonight in your prayer life, are you tapping into your knowledge of God? Or are you letting secular concepts and ideas infiltrate and influence the way you come to God for prayer?" You see, he's not our one-armed bandit in Las Vegas, where you go up and you throw your 25 cent or $1 chip in the machine and pull your handle of prayer, and God somehow is going to brrrr, and hopefully you hit the jackpot. That's not what prayer is. Prayer is coming before the true and living God, the Creator God, Almighty God, but yet the same God who's moved with compassion for you and I. Here we find Jesus tapping into his understanding and knowledge of God. Proverbs chapter 28 verse 9 says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." Now what that simply means is, he that ignores what the Bible teaches about God, God's will, God's law, he that ignores who and what God is, his prayers are as abomination before the Lord. You and I, when we go to the Lord in prayer, it needs to be that as we come to him in prayer, we do so with a knowledge and understanding that is genuinely based on the reality of who he is. He's not some magical Superman. He's not some magical mystery little creature. He's God. I heard some kids the other day reference Jesus and his superpowers. The reality is, it's not about Jesus and superpowers. It's not about God and superpowers. They are the superpower. They don't contain them. They are them. He is Almighty. And so when you look at this text and you see Jesus Christ cry out to Abba Father, and he says, "All things are possible unto thee," Christ knew if God so willed, he could have had it that he didn't die on the cross. But that was not the will of God. For God had foreordained that there would be a price paid for your sin and mine, and that God himself would come down and take upon himself the form of a man, born of a virgin, raised as a boy in a carpenter's home, there to grow to be a man who would be an itinerant preacher and minister. But he was God in the flesh, the Messiah, the Savior, the Anointed One. His destiny was to go to the cross for your sins and mine. But Jesus knew that God could do anything. He could change it. But that wasn't God's will. In fact, the next thing you see in this, the fifth thing I want you to see in this little short prayer, is I want you to see that he had a faithful obedience. You see, and that's really what all of us need. If we're going to have a powerful prayer life, we have to be obedient to our Heavenly Father. Listen again to this prayer as we look down here at verse 36 in Mark chapter 14. Listen again. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. So we find him in his obedience, saying, Lord, not my will. You see, it can't always be about us. We have to understand that the Lord has a greater purpose, a bigger purpose in all of our lives. If we are his child, he has an objective for each and every one of us. We need to serve him faithfully and be willing to do what his will is in each of our lives. And we should search that out and seek that out. Lord, what would you have me to do? Can't always be about me. You know, certainly when I was growing up, the farthest thing from my imagination was that I would ever be a preacher, a pastor, a minister. Never. That could not even imagine that growing up. I didn't even go to church when I was a child. But God had a different plan. At 16 years old, he brought somebody by who gave me the gospel on a construction job site. My whole life changed between 16 and 19. And when I was 19 years old, I sensed and heard and knew the call of God. And it changed my entire life. In each of our lives, we have to go ahead and say, Lord, not my will. It can't be all about me. Lord, I need to humbly yield to you. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, it says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. You see, that's who we should be. We should be those people who want to have power-packed prayer lives. And in those power-packed prayer lives is an obedient heart and soul, who simply wants to do God's will, whatever that might be. The last thing I want you to see as we look in this text of Mark chapter 14, verse 36, about this power-packed prayer life, is when we come to the last part of the verse, when we come to the last part of his prayer, we see an unwavering faith. We see our Lord Jesus Christ come before the Heavenly Father with unyielding and unwavering faith. Listen again to verse 36. Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. You see, when we yield ourselves to God, when we say to him, not my will, but your will, we are exercising faith. Because we are believing that our God is able. We're believing that he is almighty. We're believing that his intentions for us are only the best. In whatever form, whatever way, through whatever time or circumstance, we know that our God is able, and that he will do that which is right by us. Now, does that mean that's always the easy way? Listen, there was nothing easy about the cross. Christ, as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and as he prayed to God, it says that even as it were great drops of sweat as blood were coming off of him, his agony was so great. It's not that it was going to be easy, but that God was going to take him through. God was going to walk through that valley of the shadow of death with his own son. And you and I, in our lives, whatever circumstance it is, when we by faith yield to Him, we lay aside whatever fears or whatever pity party, whatever concerns, whatever aspirations, we lay them at the foot of the cross and we say, Lord, it is yours. You guide me. You direct me. I trust in you alone. That's what Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. When he said, not my will, but your will. James chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, it says, but let him ask in faith, talking to you and I about prayer, saying, let us ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. You see, we have to be a prayer warrior who comes before God with an unwavering faith. That is what touches the heart and mind of God when he sees and knows that we believe him. Last week I mentioned how that in the scriptures it says whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Because when we don't believe God, we call God a liar. You see, we want to have power-packed prayer. Boldly approaching our Abba Father with a clear aim, objective in our prayer. Contemplative desire within our hearts. Considering and contemplating as God moves and directs our prayer. We need to have biblical knowledge that's woven into our prayer life because we should know who we're talking to. We should have a faithful obedience, yielding. And it should be faith. It should be driven by faith. Prayers that start with things like, well, if you're really there, that's not much of a prayer. You know, you're not going to call your wife up on the phone and say, now, if you really love me, that's not putting much confidence in your marriage. Or wives, you're not going to say to your husband, well, if you really love me. That starts the whole thing on the wrong premise, doesn't it? But instead, you go to your spouse and you say, because you love me. I made you the most amazing meal tonight. In fact, you know what? Sandra Jo and I were talking. This whole COVID-19 thing where people are brought in and you're kind of harboring at home. Lots of ladies are showing on Facebook and texting about these amazing foods they're making at their houses. And I have to say, Sandra Jo, I mean, man, she's broke out some of the recipes. She made me yesterday banana pudding with crushed graham cracker to sprinkle on it. Oh, man, it was good. She's cracking out those things to do the best she can for this husband that she loves and I love her. When we come before our Father, our Heavenly Father, our Abba Father, we come with confidence and faith, knowing that He has the best for us, and we must rest and trust in Him. Power-packed prayer. That's what you and I both need. Let's go ahead and go to our prayer list tonight, because this is our Bible study and prayer meeting every Wednesday night. So I have only two prayer requests that were sent in to us today. So if you would like to be added to the prayer list, let me know. In fact, actually, there's three. I forgot one that was reached out to me. So, first one I want to mention to you is Diane Lepore. Diane has started her chemo treatments for breast cancer. So she started today. If you would please pray for Diane Lepore as she goes through this. And then also pray for Linda Pigeon's family. Linda Pigeon worshiped with us for years. She sat right over here on the right-hand side when she came in. And then Linda just recently went to New Hampshire to be near her daughters, and she just passed away last night. So if you would pray for her daughters and pray for Susie and her family. Linda Pigeon passed away last night. And then last of all, I'd like you to pray for all the nurses and doctors and first responders who are caring for folks in our community and really all around the world, taking care of folks who are sick, folks who are even dying. I mean, it's got to be very, very difficult. And they need strength, putting in long hours. I was reading an article about some doctors and nurses who they don't even go home. They are staying in hotels or they're staying in temporary lodging so they don't contaminate their families. They literally, through this time, are not even seeing their families. Pray for those folks, if you would. And of course, pray for our nation. Pray for our president. Pray for the team that's been put together to help us through this national and global crisis. Pray for all those scientists and biologists that are looking for vaccines and all the things to stop this in its tracks. Let's have power-packed prayer for all of these things. I'm going to close this in prayer. Thank you so much for worshiping with us on this Wednesday evening prayer and Bible study. Father in heaven, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you and praise you that you do love us. You love us so much. You died on the cross for us. I thank you that even at this very moment, and in the mystery of the Trinity, the scriptures teach us that Christ sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. We thank you for the mystery in the Trinity where the Holy Spirit that dwells within us prays those things to the Father that we ourselves cannot even utter. Lord, all of it is so miraculous. We rest in who you are. And we just ask that you would be with us in this time. We thank you. We praise you. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen.